World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
And you know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I just had one of those last second things hit me. I want to try to get a copy of this thing real quick and get it off to my get it off to the webmaster. Bear with me a second, Spencer. It's coming your way here. Let's do this, and then let's do this, and let's do this, and let's do this, and boom, and then let's do this, and it doesn't matter, and it's off. All right. Hey, morning. Good morning. Good morning. Man, oh, man. I don't know about you guys. Yesterday's show wore me out. Emotionally wore me out. And I'm not patting myself on the back. This show rocks, man. The last 4 or 5 days, have we really got, we've been getting to it, haven't we? We've been getting to it. Gee, man, I just thank God for his Holy Spirit and all the great and wonderful things that the Holy Spirit's guiding us to. I got some fabulous stuff I want to share with you today if the Lord allows us to get to it. I got to tip my hat again to Bob Evans. Bob came down. Bob drove 2.5 hours yesterday to come down, finish the bathroom, did a couple other odds and ends around Sky High. Doesn't ask for a nickel, doesn't ask for a penny, doesn't ask for a tank load of gas, doesn't ask anything. And I don't even know what to say, Bob. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And like I always say, to people, they say stuff to me. I say, well, you'd do it for me, wouldn't you? And I would, Bob. I would. I'd come up. I'd do it for you. So I just appreciate it. And I think a week ago, things were so bad up at Sky High that I couldn't get away to go to Pennsylvania. And a week later, the cavalry comes rushing in. Bob comes rushing in, and everything's fixed, up and running. Guests coming in this afternoon. So Can't thank Bob enough. I'm flying at 9 o'clock tonight. I'm flying to L.A. Spencer, pull that up there. Thrive Time Show, Wake America Tour, if you will, real quickly. This is where we're going to be. Anaheim itinerary. Again, we've been invited to be there. Randy Lunsford is already out there. Randy is connected because, believe it or not, his son is working for Clay Clark, the guy that's organizing all these things. So Randy's out there. Ohio Brett's is the world's greatest marketer. So I'm taking Ohio Brett with us. I got a bunch of business cards printed up yesterday. I'm just going to turn Ohio Brett loose and let him do his thing. And then Carlos, who was on here last week, you remember the guy got beat up, got sucker punched. Carlos and his wife Annette got them tickets. They live in the Anaheim area. We're going to see them out there. So we have 5 representatives of Coach Dave Live in our huddle going to be out there. So I hate flying. Especially hate flying to California. I'm going out Friday night. I'll be back Monday evening. And just covet your prayers. Again, if some of you could, if you'd be so kind to go and kick $10 or $25 to us, you can't believe how expensive hotels are and stuff. I'm glad I don't live in California, right? I'm glad I don't live in California. So we're going to go there. I don't know. Monday morning, it'll be like 4 a.m. doing my show. So we'll figure out what's going on there. Yes. Oh, thank you. It will be streaming, by the way. Wait, right here at this website, the event will be streaming. And I was amazed when I looked at the itinerary, the fabulous speakers they have, but they only give them 15 minutes. General Flynn gets 20 minutes. I mean, Mike Lindell gets 10 minutes. And boy, they're running through them. So it's noon. This is Eastern time now. I'm sorry. Pacific time. Noon, which would be 3 Eastern. Noon till 8, live streaming, so you can follow it if you want to follow it there. Clay Parker, real quick. Spencer, click on that Kindred of the Kingdom Conference. Folks, listen, Clay, come in here if you want to. We have to, today's a deadline. Monday's a deadline. We got to let them know how many. Because the cabins that we don't rent, they're going to rent. Okay? So some of you out there, take this weekend, twist the arms of your son, your grandchildren, your neighbor. Say, come on, man. Come on, come with us. Just come and have a vacation with us. But we're going to have to cut it off on Monday. We have to cut it off on Monday. You either make the decision to come and join us on by Monday, or you can't come. Clay, would that be right, brother?
Well, pretty much, Coach. Here's the thing, gang. There's only four or five chalets remaining. So let's say there's a family that's wanting to come. If you got four or five families, that's it. That's the only spots we got left. Now, the way this thing works, an event like this costs a few thousand dollars to put on. If somebody backs out after the 20th, we're stuck with these units, and Coach is going to have to pay it out of his ministry. So we need to confirm how many people's coming. If you can't afford to pay by the end of day Monday, then please just go to the conference flyer form on Coach Dave Live Events. My contact information's on there. Let me know that you want to come and that you promise you're going to come, and then we'll see if we can rent you one of these spots. Now, if you're staying off-site, you don't have to worry about this because we don't have to reserve your spot off-site. That's on you. Now, I love you guys, and hey, let me say this too real quick. Thank you for people that are coming and helping with this conference that have purchased a ticket. We can't do this without people's funds. We can't have these things if you don't pay. We can't do these things for free. And thank you for the people that are generous with their time and their monies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, team. Have a great weekend.
It's a vacation, friends. Yes, there's going to be some great training. But if you bring your kids and the grandkids and they don't want to go to the training, they can go swimming, they can go hiking. There's all kinds of things that they can do. Make it a family vacation. That's what we're doing. I signed up. Yeah, I did. I signed up two of our children yesterday and their families. Now, Clay, the $150, help me out here. Is that $150 per couple or per person? So if a husband and wife come, Clay, is it $300? How does that work, bud?
Yeah, that's how it's working, $300 for a couple. It's $150 for adults and $125 for children, age 10 through 17. And then if families, listen, if you're staying in a unit and you got, there's only six places available in a unit. So if you're coming with your family, we can work something out to try to help you out on the cost of your family coming. So you just contact me if you have any questions and I'll work with you on that.
Amen. Good work, Clay. Good work. Appreciate it. Hey, are our pastors organizing, you think? Are our pastors organizing? Do me a favor here real quick, Spencer. Pull up that Michael Perutka commentary that I just sent you. By the way, he's going to be on with us next week. I've known Michael for a long time. And he's, guys, you remember, guys, a few months ago, we played the video, Courts Did Not Make Law. Remember that? Michael Perutka ran for president of the United States on the Constitution Party ticket in 2000. I think it was 2004, one of them. A great man, good guy, great guy, great down-to-earth guy. And he posted this at News With You this morning. I just saw this. Are you there, Silver? We need your silver tones here this morning if you are. I know I got my screen all messed up here.
I'm here, Coach.
You're always there, aren't you, Joe? Read this. Folks, it's real, real short. The Most Lethal Weapon, Michael Perutka, July 16th, 2021. Go ahead and read that, Joe.
In the course of my years on this earth, I have been blessed with a loving and caring family, as well as many friends whose opinions and judgment I rely upon. But I must admit that the events of this past year have placed a massive strain on many cherished relationships. I am becoming more convinced that we are experiencing a mass hysteria, an act of war, which has been purposely and demonically inflicted by enemies of our constitutional republic and the biblical worldview on which it was founded. For example, I am astonished to hear friends tell me that they have voluntarily submitted to a COVID-19 vaccination, which is not, by the way, a vaccination, but rather an experimental gene therapy. when I asked them to please tell me why they would submit to an untested procedure when they already enjoy a 99.99% survival rate, or when I asked why they would continue to follow the advice of governors who have deprived them of their right to travel, to assemble, and to worship, or why they would trust talking heads like Fauci and Gates, who have repeatedly lied, misrepresented, and censored data and opinions that conflict with their narrative. My friends and loved ones effectively have no answer.
Hang on a minute. Bebek, somebody give me a thumbs up. Is that you? Is that you? Go ahead, Joe.
Mostly, they just want to change the subject.
Wow, yep.
Sometimes, they admit that they just want to be able to travel and get back to normal. But it should be clear by now that those who have inflicted these lawless lockdowns and insane mask mandates have no intention of letting us get back to normal. It comes down to this. People mindlessly get the shot simply because the television told them to. Friends and fellow Americans, we are in the middle of a war, and our enemy's most lethal weapon is right in our living room.
Amen to that, Michael. That's pretty succinct, isn't it? That's it. How about that, Joe, huh? People mindlessly got the shot simply because the television told them to.
And Coach, I want to let you know and the rest of the room, I am recording this week's word after I fixed it all.
All right, cool. Good. Are our pastors organizing? Are our pastors organizing? I got invited. I'm not name dropping. I'm not going to not name drop. I got invited to a pretty powerful gathering of eagles later on. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to go or not. That's not the point. And I ask myself the same question. Every time I get one of these, I ask myself, see, the Patriots are gathering, right? People are gathering. Look what's going on. Look at the people that are coming to Wisconsin. Look at the people that Chad and Bobby and the crew had in Pennsylvania last week. If we organized something this weekend, there'd be a lot of people coming. People are awake. Where are the pastors? Now I don't know how to ask this question, but I'll lay it out because I think it's really, really pertinent. Any pastor that's watching right now, are there pastor meetings going on behind the scenes that we don't know of? Are local pastors calling other pastors and say, "Hey boys, we got to get together"? Are those meetings going on? Does anybody know? Are those kind of meetings going on, or is it just lay people? Is it just the Mike Lindells of the world? Are the local pastors, do the local pastors see the, what's the word I'm looking for? Do they see the strife in the life of the people coming into their churches? And do they say, you know, we have to do something. We have to do something. I'm going to call Pastor Joe down the road. Pastor Joe, are you guys dealing with stress down there? Would you like to get together and talk? Okay. Hey, I'll get back to it. Hey, Pastor Tim, are you folks down there think we ought to get together and stop this critical race there? You do? Okay. I'll be in touch. Are they doing that? Anybody want to bet me $1,000 to one they're not doing that? Anybody want to bet me that? So where's our team? Where is the Lord's team in this battle? Well, they're not here. They're missing in action. They're missing in action. You say, well, Coach, you don't know what it's like to be a pastor. Thank God. Because if I'd be a pastor, I'd be running some of these guys out of town. If I was a pastor, I'd be pounding on the phone saying, how long are we going to let this go on to our people? How long are we going to let this do it? We got people that are getting emotionally sick. We have people who are staying home and getting high on drugs and drinking beer, beating their kids. We got to do something here, boys. We got to do something. We got to lay down our denominational differences. We got to do something. You think those phone calls are going on? Watch my lips. Hell no. What's going on? Well, that's where I'm heading today. That's where I'm heading. Oh, I got three. I've got to let in. I'm going to open your eyes today. Okay. I'm going to show you what's happened. I'm going to show you what's happened. Oh, Lord, I feel this so deep. Can I tell you the truth? Most of the pastors won't. They won't even take my call. You say, "Well, coach, why would they? You get on your bat, beat up on them every." I don't beat up on them. I beat up on pastors. I don't beat up on them. I can't believe it. I refuse to believe that in this time of trials and tribulations that we're in, that the pastors aren't organized. Oh my God, help us, Lord. Come on in, Jack, then Larry, then Jeff.
Coach, the answer to Michael Peruca's essay this morning, I texted you just before the show. How would anybody buy a license that says live free or die?
That's a license plate in New Hampshire, right, Jack? Live free or die.
I have a license to live free or die. Uh-huh. And on the pastor's thing, we know they can call each other because if we're going to organize an event, they do call each other and say, don't go.
They're actually working against us. Good
point.
Yep.
That's right, Jack.
Don't go. That's right. Don't get involved. Larry?
Yeah, you know, that article that Silver read was their most effective weapon is a TV. And maybe true. A lot of people don't even, you watch TV channels, they might watch videos or something on a fire stick. Right. But their tactic, their most important tactic is what we need to most beware of. And you tell us about it all the time, Coach. Their tactic is deception and lies. And until enough people wake up to the fact that they're being deceived and lied to, we're at a disadvantage.
Hey, Larry, not only that, people got to wake. Hey, listen, are you looking at me right now? Hey, Clint Harper, I'm not talking about you. Tom Gill, I'm not talking about you. Pastor Dunphy, I'm not talking about you. But listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Most of you are going to a church where the pastor ain't got no clue. He ain't got no clue what's going on. No clue. And if he's not talking to you about these things, run for your stinking life. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, just real quick. Monday night, I'm going to the school board meeting. I've been just running things through my head.
Call some pastors. Take them with you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Your article you wrote yesterday in News and Views, I'm using a few clips out. That was on it. And everything we've been talking about in the show. Then I've got, in the last week or 10 days, with all these troubles and problems going on, things going through my mind, I'm going to say to the school board or what we're doing to our youth. Now we just have three people I personally know in the past week here in Mount Vernon committed suicide. That's just three I know. Three I know. I don't know all the other ones that didn't. I mean, just craziness.
Hey, Jeff, do you know why? Our churches don't understand there's a devil loose. Our churches don't understand that Satan is running unopposed. Go ahead.
Then I get a call last night. I just blew my mind, and I really didn't say much. I listened on this call for a half hour. And they want, you know how they're doing now? They're trying to get in the schools after school because we used to get in during the school and do FCA. Now they're coming in afterwards. I got a phone call, and you know what Gambier is all about, Kenyon College.
Yep.
Well, the one school of Mount Vernon that they still have, Wiggins Street School, is in smack dab in the middle. They called because they're in the other schools in Mount Vernon with these little programs. They called for me to see if I will come and talk to them because of our church in the garage and because Pastor Bill, and they know us. They said, but we need some bold Christians.
Amen.
I'm like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean?
Yep. For such a time as this. Bernie, real quickly, I got a sermon prepared. I got to get it out of me. Go ahead, Bernie.
Okay, I know this is Flea Flicker Friday. And Jeff, you're right. A year ago when all this COVID thing happened, I know more people who died from suicide than from COVID. But I figured out why. I figured out why they say that the white man's racist, because there's this book by this white man called Darwin, Origin of the Species, Preservation of the Favored Races and the Struggle for Life.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Why are they teaching race? That's where racism got started teaching in school.
You got it, Bernie. First of all, we got it. That's a whole nother story. We got to get our schools back, but we can't get our schools back because our pastors think their schools are wonderful. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that one. They think they're wonderful. great football team and choirs and right. Yeah, I'm telling. Okay, here's where we're going. So the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock this morning. Somebody did. Some spirit did. Woke me up at 4 o'clock this morning. And just revealed in 30 seconds. So here's the problem. Here's the problem. So sit back here, and I'm going to show you in about 12 minutes the transformation that's taken place in the American church. Are you ready? Do me a favor. Click on stand up, Spencer. Get all four of those ready. Okay, folks, this was the anthem of the church, if not a generation ago, at least two generations ago. This was the anthem of the church. And ask yourself this, is this being sung in today's churches? Go ahead. So today we say compromise, compromise for Jesus, right? Right? Now listen, it's a spirit. I'm telling you, it's a spirit. I just, as that thing was playing, I could do a show just on those words. Now ask yourself, how often on Sundays is that song and that spirit played in the American church?
In my church.
They'll say, let's get out some of the old hymns. Let's sing an old hymn. No, we don't have old hymns. We have this next one. Pliff, open our eyes. This is what people walk into their church and hear on Sundays today. Go ahead.
Open up.
Puts me to sleep. Pacifies me.
Open our ears, Lord.
He has to tread on all my.
Open our eyes.
Okay, you can stop it, Spencer, or I'm going to puke. If you don't stop it, I'm going to puke. You do know that Jesus coming back with eyes that are a flame of fire. And we act like today in modern Christian church, we want to sit on his lap. Open my eyes, I want to see him. No, you don't, baby. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want to see him. Eyes is a flame of fire. Out of his mouth goes a two-edged sword wherewith he might smite the nations. Open my eyes. Can I sit on your lap, Lord? Huh? Okay, I'm not done. Not done. Play onward. Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. Do you think that song we just heard, think that's how often do you suppose that's played in the evangelifish churches around America, huh? We all know it, don't we? We all know it. Okay. Hey, we're talking about a spirit here, aren't we? Are we at war? Are we not at war? Talking about pastors won't get together. Why? Because they're listening to that song. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. We don't touch you, say I love you. Play the next one. You tell me if the spirit doesn't change on this one. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, before you guys get too much testosterone gone and too much of your hearts gone, play the open the eyes of my heart. Play that one, because this is what they're feeding you in your evangelifish church, right? They're not feeding you a righteous, holy, onward marching Jesus. Oh, no. They're selling you Santa Claus. They're selling you Grandpa. That's what they're selling you. And you can't figure out why men won't stand up and fight. Oh, go ahead. Listen, I'm sorry if I got your heart beating fast. I'll calm you down here. Some hope. Let me calm you down. Go ahead.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Are you kidding me?
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to
see you. Women like this kind of music. Women like this. This is womanly stuff.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I want to see you.
You don't even fear him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. My heart.
Okay, you get it. You see what they've done to us? You see what they've done to us, friends? Now, I could have gone to 1,000 praise songs. Praise songs. Oh, I love going to our church. We have the greatest praise and worship. Really? You know what the Lord wants? He wants your praise and worship out on the streets fighting against evil. That's the kind of praise and worship he's looking for. He wants you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. He doesn't want you to sit around and sing songs to him. That's what they've done to us, folks. Right there it is. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit woke me up at 4 o'clock and gave me those songs. Holy Spirit did. Here's why our people won't fight. Here's why our pastors won't. Our pastors are singing these songs. And we're in the middle of a war. Open the eyes. I see him high and lifted up. Oh, emotionalism. Emotionalism. And in the meantime, they're eating our kids. Come on in, Rochelle, then Bobby, and Reggie.
Hey, good morning, team.
Tell me, I'm nailing it, right, Michelle? I'm nailing it again. Go ahead.
So I've been working on another booklet, and I think the title's going to be A Worthy Adversary. But I was looking up just some of the things that Christians believe. I was looking at the State of Theology and the Pew Research Center. And just to give you a taste, I'll just run through a couple. 38% agree that Jesus was just a great teacher, but not God. These are Christians. These are not everyday Americans. Okay. 46% agree that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. 42% agree that God accepts the worship of all religions. 30% agree that gender identity is a matter of choice. 38% agree belief in absolute standards for right and wrong. Only 38% believe that there's absolutes. 45% agree abortion should be legal. 54% agree homosexuality should be accepted. And 44% are in favor of same-sex marriage. And I'll stop there. I think you see the state of our churches. And that's because nobody's speaking any truth.
That's right. That's right. And if they do speak any truth, they are outcasts of the other pastors. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Oh,
yeah, I was shocked at those stats. Those are from Christians, not everyday Americans.
Open the eyes of my Lord. Come on in, Bobby.
I don't know what makes me want to go punch trees more. The aggression the aggression of the Knights Templar or that weak, cowardice, pathetic song that we just heard. Everything's psychological. So they're psychologically dumbed down by the Sunday morning concert music. Nothing controls us more psychologically everywhere than the music, than the things that we watch and the things that we see. Hence, that's what they're doing to us in the church.
So Bobby, Chad Estes, back 5 years ago when I first met him, came on the show early. He was often said, he doesn't say it so much anymore, your emotions will betray you. Your emotions will betray you. And friends, Sunday morning praise and worship is all emotion. Go ahead and get mad. I don't care. It's all emotionalism. And you get in your car and you drive home. You say, oh, I felt the Holy Spirit today in praise. It's your emotions, folks.
Hey, before you move on from me, Coach, listen, the Knights Templar, do you people know what the Knights Templar did in order for us to be here today? The only thing missing.
No, we don't. Video,
yeah, they don't. Knights Templar. Watch the two series. It's called Nightfall. It's one of the best series I've ever seen. Nightfall, about the Knights Templar. It's a great education and a great series too. But the only thing missing in that series that was covered with the Knights Templar, or that video we just watched, was we didn't have much if or anything of the Black Robe Regiment, and it would have been great to see if they even exist. I can't imagine the modern day Christian warrior since 1776, probably some Christian warriors in the Civil War, but we need some modern day masculine aggressive.
Because Bobby, it was a different theology. Theology is because our lifestyle has become soft. Our gospel has become soft. Come on in, Reggie.
Oh, thank you. We're being Muslims now.
Yes, we are. We're Muslims now.
Thank you, Coach, for bringing this subject up. Okay, so a lot of people will go, oh, Reggie, I have never, ever been able to get into the praise and worship. It does not do anything for me. It actually irritates me, so I'm so sorry. But music does a lot to the soul. It actually can, I know that, program you. And that's what they do in Hollywood. That's what they do in the music industry. That's what they're doing. I call it pew programming going on in the churches. And I say it over and over. If you give me some pipes and drums, I'm ready for war. We're called church militant for a reason, but yet everybody's sleeping. It's just music.
Amen. Well,
Reggie, you were in Akron.
Amen.
When I sang our fight song that day, remember that, Reggie? When I stand up for Jesus, the fight song that we had down at Fairfield Christian Academy.
Yeah.
And Reggie, you could feel the energy rise in the room, could you not? It wasn't made up energy.
Nope.
There's something deep inside all of us that wants to win, friends. We want to win, but we're not going to win if we're being pacified. We're not going to win if they're taking the man right out of us, and they are. Mark, come on in, and Larry.
So if the church is the locker room where you go get fired up to go out to the field, and the field is the world for us to win souls and do what Paul did, do what Jesus did, go out and do what we do, then, you know, that there's this whole thing about the church ramping us up. And then you listen to that song and you hear what Bobby said. It's psychological. So all week long, we get amped up. Is the government using the churches to calm us down once a week with songs like that?
Don't you wonder, huh? Some
pacify,
type of it.
It's kind of, oh, everything will be okay. I made it through Sunday. Now I can get ramped up through the week and just come in and calm myself down Sunday. Isn't the church the locker room?
It's supposed to be.
Pound on each other's shoulder pads. Right, Brett?
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's supposed to be. Pound on each other's shoulder pads. You guys don't know what we're talking about. In a locker room, man, we get ready to go out there. You get your helmets on, get ready, and you're pounding on your buddy's shoulder pads because you're going to war. Going to war. Is that the attitude, church? They send you out to go to war? Or they send you out to love? Well, it would be great to go out the door to love. The love alone ain't going to get it done, boys and girls. Do you know that the entire American, say what you want to, the entire American world was conquered by aggressive Christianity. Do you understand this, friends? Do we understand this? What did we, do you think we handed tracts to the Indians? Do you think that's what we did? Do you think we went down and some of those, oh my goodness, what has happened to us? Because why? We have not yet satisfied in our own hearts that we are at war against the forces of darkness. We're supposed to have nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them. Expose them. Hey, Pastor. Pastor, you want to come and join me? They're teaching homosex to our kids at the library. You come and join me? Oh, you can't? You have a potluck? Oh, okay, thanks. Hey, Pastor, listen. Hey, Pastor, you know, I found out that they're trafficking children. They're taking our children. They're sex trafficking. We have a meeting tomorrow night. Could you come and join us at me? Oh, you can't? You have choir practice? Right? Yeah, I know I'm right. Who is it? Whose turn is it here? Larry, Dale, and Joe. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't too long ago that one of the main most groups that promoted and wrote and started a bunch of those praise songs ended up revealing themselves to be on Satan's side, Hillsong or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hillsong. Well, not only that.
And not only do they have those mamby-pamby milk toast songs that they all wrote that are leading people away from Christ instead of standing up for Christ, they do have some really, really get out there and fight them songs, and like, I'll fly away, right?
Russ Taff, I think it was Russ Taff who did the song we played the other day, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. He turned homo, you know. He left his wife and family. Did you know that? Did you know that the devil's infiltrated Christian music? Oh, he wouldn't do that. He was a daggone choir boy. What the hell are you talking about? Come on in, Dale.
Yeah, fair and balanced, Coach. Listen, because I fully hear your heart, but I know that there's always another side to these things. This is Okay, well, the fair and balance is if you read the Psalms of David himself. And what did David play when Solomon or King Solomon was being tormented? It was a harp. We might not think of that as a warfare instrument, but it was. But the thing is that David had a heart of war, and he didn't just play the harp. He also, I mean, you listen to some of the Psalms, brother, about smashing the teeth of the enemy. There were those, and then Psalms 22:3, God inhabits the praises of his people. Mm. But now what I like to do, I always like to go, have you ever sat in a thunderstorm that shakes your house and you're expecting it? Brother, that's what Revelation says the sounds of heaven is like. It's like rushing waters and thunder, clashing of thunder. Brother, that's the thing. We don't want to see Jesus. I reworded that song a long time ago. I sang it to you. I will never march in the infantry, right? I may not. I will never. This is the stance of the church. That's great. I believe that locker room, there's a balance to it. But you know me, Coach, I'll take it right to the gates of hell. And let me tell you what, a one-string guitar with a man who has a heart after God will smash the teeth of the enemy than all the smoke machines and light shows on a Sunday morning.
Don't even need a guitar. Don't even need a car. Come on in, Joe. Good word, Dale.
Well, here's a question. Has our laws saved us, or has our laws weakened us where we cannot act like a Knight Templar?
Joe, you're not even allowed to talk like one, let alone act like one. You're not
so
even allowed.
Our laws have weakened us.
They have weakened us, brother. They have. Okay, folks, sit down because I'm going to do something I never do here. Let me find it. Go down at... Where is it? I'm on the right spot. Yeah, down at the bottom, it says vision.
Hey, Coach, before you do that, I don't mean to cut you off, but you know that you have a group of pastors in here that meet with you every morning. you have a real good group of pastors.
And I hope they know I love them.
Amen, brother.
I hope they know I love them, and I'm trying to harshly coach them. I hope they know that. I'm not against them. I'm for them. We need them. We need tough Marine drill sergeant pastors. Now, listen, not everybody can be Sergeant Carter. Shazam! Not everybody can be him, okay? Not everybody can. But we sure as hell could use a few of them. We sure could. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to say that. That would be me. Okay, so Joe in here. I never do this. But I'm going to read from the Message Bible today. Okay. The Holy Spirit gave me, I always do King James. You guys know that. I always do. So let me do a disclaimer. I'm not endorsing the Message Bible. Okay. But on this, we read Habakkuk. Who would name their kid Habakkuk? Oh, look at this beautiful little Habakkuk. Anyway, you read Habakkuk. Read him in the King James, and you got to follow it really closely because you can't figure out what he's telling you. And then I went to the Message Bible today, and I said, oh, my goodness. Okay, so listen, that's why I think sometimes Bible interpretations are okay, because it gets you to look at something the way that you hadn't looked at it before, right? So I'm not that big of a Nazi on scriptures, but I think this paints makes a point that I think Habakkuk in the King James is making. So Joe, if you would, folks, we're going to read a little bit of this. It won't kill you to read a little bit of the Bible, but I want you to listen the problem as God gave Habakkuk to see it. Okay? Look at this. Justice is a joke is the title of it. Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Go ahead, Joe.
Habakkuk 1. The problem is God gave Habakkuk to see it.
Time out. From Habakkuk's point of view, God said, look at this. Now, that's the great thing about the Holy Spirit. He may be showing you something from another perspective, right? That's okay. That's okay. Unless it is a misrepresentation of the nature of God, then it's not okay. It's not okay then, right? Okay, go ahead, Joe.
God, how long do I have to cry out for help before you listen? How many times do I have to yell, help, murder, police, before you come to the rescue? Why do you force me to look at evil, stare trouble in the face day after day? Anarchy and violence break out, quarrels and fights all over the place. Law and order fall to pieces. Justice is a joke. The wicked have the righteous hamstrung and stand justice on its head.
Anybody say amen? Does that look like looking out your window today? Nothing new under the sun. Go ahead.
Look around at the godless nations. Look long and hard. Brace yourself for a shock. Something's about to take place, and you're going to find it hard to believe. I'm about to raise up Babylonians to punish you. Babylonians, fierce and ferocious. World-conquering Babylon, grabbing up nations right and left. A dreadful and terrible people. Making up its own rules as it goes.
Wow.
Their horses run like the wind, attack like bloodthirsty wolves, a stampede of galloping horses, thunders out of nowhere. They descend like vultures, circling in on carrion. They're out to kill. Death is on their minds. They collect victims like squirrels gathering nuts. They mock kings, poke fun at generals, spit on forts, and leave them in the dust. They'll all be blown away by the wind. Brazen in sin, they call strength their God. God, you're from eternity, aren't you? Holy God, we aren't going to die, are we? God, you chose the Babylonians for your judgment work. Rock solid God, you gave them the job of discipline. But you can't be serious. You can't condone evil. So why don't you do something about this? Why are you silent now? This outrage, evil men swallowing up the righteous, and you stand around and watch.
Wow.
You're treating men and women as so many fish in the ocean, swimming without direction, swimming but not getting anywhere. Then this evil Babylonian arrives and goes fishing. He pulls in a good catch. He catches his limit and fills his bucket. A good day of fishing. He's happy. He praises his rod and reel, piles his fishing gear on an altar and worships it. It made his day, and he's going to eat well tonight.
You do understand that Habakkuk is bringing an indictment against the Lord here, don't you, folks? Keep going, Joe.
Are you going to let this go on and on? Will you let this Babylonian fisherman fish like a weekend angler, killing people as if they're nothing but fish?
Wow. Go to the next chapter. Because God's going to answer.
What's God going to say to my questions? I'm braced for the worst. I'll climb to the lookout tower and scan the horizon. I'll wait to see what God says, how he'll answer my complaint.
Look at the title, full of self, but soul empty. Go ahead.
And then God answered.
Wow, right. God answered him. Okay.
Write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. And it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time.
Wilderness. We were talking about that yesterday, weren't we? Wilderness.
Look at that man bloated by self-importance, full of himself, but soul empty.
By the way, this is the Lord speaking, folks. This is the Lord speaking to Habakkuk now.
But the person in right standing before God, through loyal and steady believing, is fully alive, really alive. Note well, money deceives. The arrogant rich don't last. They are more hungry for wealth than the grave is for cadavers. Like death, they always want more.
Jabs, vaccinations.
But the more they get is dead bodies. They are cemeteries filled with dead nations.
Wow.
Graveyards filled with corpses.
My goodness.
Don't give people like this a second thought. Soon the whole world will be taunting them.
God's still speaking.
Who do you think you are, getting rich by stealing and extortion? How long do you think you can get away with this? Indeed, how long before your victims wake up, stand up, and make you the victim? You've plundered nation after nation. Now you'll get a taste of your own medicine. All the survivors are out to plunder you, a payback for all your murders and massacres.
Still speaking, Lord.
Who do you think you are, recklessly grabbing and looting, living it up, acting like the king of the mountain, acting above it all, above trials and troubles? You've engineered the ruin of your own house. In ruining others, you've ruined yourself. You've undermined your foundations, rotted out your own soul. The bricks of your house will speak up and accuse you. The woodwork will step forward with evidence.
What a picture.
What? Who do you think you are, building a town by murder, a city with crime? Don't you know that God of the angel armies makes sure nothing comes out of that but ashes? Make sure the harder you work and at that kind of thing, the less you are. Meanwhile, the earth fills up with awareness of God's glory as the waters cover the sea. Who do you think you are, inviting your neighbors to your drunken parties, giving them too much to drink, roping them into your sexual orgies? You thought you were having the time of your life. Wrong. It's a time of disgrace. All of the time you were drinking from the cup of God's wrath. You'll wake up holding your throbbing head, hung over from Lebanon violence, hung over from animal massacres, hung over from murder and mayhem, from multiple violations of place and people. What's the use of a carved God so skillfully carved by a sculptor?
God made in our own image.
What good is a fancy cast God when all it tells is lies? What sense does it make to be a pious God maker who makes gods that can't even talk? Who do you think you are, saying to a stick of wood, wake up? Or to a dumb stone, get up. Can they teach you anything about anything? There's nothing to them but surface. There's nothing on the inside.
Amen.
But oh, God is in his holy temple. Quiet, everyone. A holy silence. Listen.
They ain't going to get away with it, friends. They're not going to get away with it, right? And I was thinking about yesterday, the show we had yesterday on wilderness living and gone through the wilderness. And whether or not we will be wise enough to accept it as a training ground, as a proving ground, as a sharpening and a hardening of us, the times in which we live. Not open my eyes, I want to see Jesus. No. But an onward Christian soldier, right? That's been stolen from us. The church has been emasculated. The church has been womanized. Somewhere along the way, they began to call the church she and her. When we know that the church is the body of Christ, and Jesus, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, that Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body, but Jesus Christ has a head and a transgender body. We have a womanly body. The body has become a woman, an effeminate woman. Bruce Jenner. Jesus Christ is Bruce Jenner redone. We're buying it all. Yeah, but here's the good news. God ain't going to put up with it for long. He ain't going to put up with it for long. Come on in, Dale. Or is your hand still up? I'm about done. It's all over me. Can't believe it. I can't believe that we are losing this war without a whimper. Not a freaking whimper. Go ahead, Larry.
Not only is the church referred to itself and, quote, become a woman, all of creation has been credited to a woman. We call it Mother Nature, and I have said it before, I'll say it again. I think it grieves God's heart every time somebody down here utters the phrase Mother Nature.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I learned a long time ago, Flip Benham told me this. You serve the God you see. Say that again. You serve the God you see.
Amen.
And if you see an effeminate, roll over and take it. I love everybody. I never get mad. I never lose my cool. If you see that kind of Jesus, that's the kind of Jesus you will serve. But if you go to Revelation, is it 21? Spencer, quickly, is it Revelation 21? I think it is. And I saw heaven open and a new earth. No, keep on going. Keep going. I'm sorry. Go on down. Maybe it's 18. No. And I saw heaven open. No, yes, keep going. No. Oh, my, is it not 21? Revelation 19. Maybe. No. Keep going. Yeah, maybe it is. Oh, my goodness. His eyes are a flame of fire. Where is that, Dale? Somebody help me out.
How about 19:11?
There it is. And I saw heaven open. See, Jesus is not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes anymore. He's not a savior hanging on a cross or laying in a tomb. I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war, Christians. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, boys and girls, open your eyes. You want to see Jesus? Really? That's Jesus. It is called the Book of the revelation. I got it right here. The book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is him today. Coming back. He's going to make war. Wake up. God bless you. See you on Monday.